extensively joined by the parties of his confederates, who anxiously sought him in the desert. Nor can I refuse to describe, in his pathetic simplicity, one of their fortunate encounters. He presented himself as a guide to three chiefs, who were at the head of 70 horse. "When their eyes fell upon me," says Timur, "they were overwhelmed with joy, and they alighted from their horses, and they came and kneeled, and they kissed my stirrup. I also came down from my horse, and took each of them in my arms, and I put my turban on the head of the first chief, and my girdle, rich in jewels and wrought with gold, I bound on the loins of the second, and the third I clothed in my own coat. And they wept, and I wept also. And the hour of prayer was arrived, and we prayed. And we mounted our horses, and came to my dwelling. And I collected my people, and made a feast." His trusty bands were soon increased by the bravest of the tribes. He led them against a superior foe, and after some vicissitudes of war, the Getes were finally driven from the kingdom of Transoxiana. He had done much for his own glory, but much remained to be done, much art to be exerted, and some blood to be spilt, before he could teach his equals to obey him as their master. The birth and power of Emir Hussein compelled him to accept a vicious and unworthy colleague, whose sister was the best beloved of his wives. Their union was short and jealous. But the policy of Timur, in their frequent quarrels, exposed his rival to the reproach of injustice and perfidy, and, after a final defeat, Hussein was slain by some sagacious friends who presumed, for the last time, to disobey the commands of their lord. At the age of 34, and in a general diet, or kurultai, he was invested with imperial command. But he affected to revere the house of Genghis, and while the Emir Timur reigned over Zagatai and the East, a nominal Khan served as a private officer in the armies of his servant. A fertile kingdom, 500 miles in length and in breadth, might have satisfied the ambition of a subject. But Timur aspired to the dominion of the world, and before his death the crown of Zagatai was one of the 27 crowns which he had placed on his head.
Gibbon relates the 35 military campaigns of Timur in Persia, Tartary, and India before proceeding to his Ottoman wars. In 1400 AD, he reportedly faced the Turkish Sultan Bajazet, then engaged in one of the many regular blockades of Constantinople. Timur marched against Bajazet's prized city of Aleppo in Syria.
The Syrian emirs were assembled at Aleppo to repel the invasion. They confided in the fame and discipline of the Mamelukes, in the temper of their swords and lances of the purest steel of Damascus, in the strength of their walled cities, and in the populousness of 60,000 villages. And instead of sustaining a siege, they threw open their gates and arrayed their forces in the plain. But these forces were not cemented by virtue and union, and some powerful emirs had been seduced to desert or betray their more loyal companions. Timur's front was covered with a line of Indian elephants, whose turrets were filled with archers and Greek fire. The rapid evolutions of his cavalry completed the dismay and disorder. The Syrian crowds fell back on each other. Many thousands were stifled or slaughtered in the entrance of the great street. The Mongols entered with the fugitives, and after a short defense, the citadel, the impregnable citadel of Aleppo, was surrendered by cowardice or treachery. Among the suppliants and captives, Timur distinguished the doctors of the law, whom he invited to the dangerous honor of a personal conference. The Mongol prince was a zealous Muslim, but his Persian schools had taught him to revere the memory of Ali and Hussein, and he had imbibed a deep prejudice against the Syrians as the enemies of the son of the daughter of the Apostle of God. To these doctors he proposed a captious question, which the casuists of Bokhara, Samarkand, and Herat were incapable of resolving. Who are the true martyrs, of those who are slain on my side or on that of mine enemies? But he was silenced or satisfied by the dexterity of one of the Qadis of Aleppo, who replied, in the words of Muhammad himself, that the motive, not the ensign, constitutes the martyr.